This is a free recording by Cambridge Qutbus, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja. Qayyima liyundhira ba'san shadidan min ladun. ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الأمر وإليه تصير الأمور وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصيهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد نصركم الله ببدر وأنتم أذلة فاتقوا الله لعلكم تشكرون صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah gave you victory at Badr when you were weak and feeble. So fear Allah that perhaps you will be grateful. Look at the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this victory to the believers. Nothing could have seemed weaker to them in their situation. They were even fasting. Islam was new in Medina. There weren't too many of the Muhajirin. The tribes outside Medina were overwhelmingly hostile. The Muslims, having made the Hijrah, were a small island of Tawheed in a huge raging sea of Shirk. They felt weak. They were weak by all of the standards of history. And yet if we look across the history of humanity, we will not find a battle that was more influential and more extraordinary and had a bigger impact on all subsequent generations of the human species than the Battle of Badr. Just imagine if it had gone the other way. The Quraysh would have been victorious. Islam would have been wiped out. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed otherwise. And He says, Allah gave you the victory at Badr when you were weak. So what must you do? Don't be triumphant thinking, we won, we are strong. No, fattakullah, have fear of Allah, and then perhaps you will be grateful. That's the difference between the one who fights fi sabilillah and the one who fights fi sabilin nafs or fi sabilit taghut. The one who fights fi sabilillah and is given victory is grateful because he knows that وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ victory is only from Allah. And the one who fights fi sabili taghut in the path of false deities, in the path of his ego, in the path of shaitan, in order that it might be said, he is a hero. He is the one who doesn't feel grateful. If he wins, he attributes it all to himself, and he boasts about it. Even in the white-hot terror of a battle, there is a deep spiritual lesson. And it's all about humility, it's all about intention, it's all about knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ala kulli shay'in qadir. But those were extraordinary times. A small group, 300 or so of the Muslims, very poorly equipped, with not enough swords and not enough armor and not enough cavalry, were fighting the most powerful force in Arabia of the day, the powerful plutocrats of Quraysh, with their weapons of mass destruction and with their many allies. It seemed that the outcome was inevitable. Adilla is the word that's used. They are dalil, they are weak, they are humble. What could they do in that situation? And yet, a miracle occurs. It's a miracle battle. Because outwardly, the judgment is, of course, God is going to be with the stronger battalions. But inwardly, the reality is that Allah is powerful over all things, and that his awliya cannot be defeated. His awliya cannot be defeated if they are the true awliya. Man adha li waliyan fad adhantuhu bil harb. Whoever harms a friend of mine, the Hadith Qudsi itself says, I declare war on him. So what is the real lineup of forces at the Battle of Badr? It is 1,000 proud Quraysh on one side, and on the other side, a few Muhajirin and Ansar, plus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the Worlds. That's the reality. And why is he with them? Because they are with him. Because of their sincerity, because of their trust. Fattaqullah. Fear Allah, and then perhaps you will be grateful for a great victory. That was a time of spiritual lights, a time when people almost saw the Jannah before their very eyes, a time of incredible yaqeen, a time of incredible holiness and barakah. And that is how they were given the nasr, the victory. And when you read the historians' accounts of the battle, it doesn't sound like any other battle that you'll ever read about. It's not like the Battle of Waterloo or the Battle of Trafalgar or any others of the battles that are fought for empty, meaningless symbols in dunya. The whole thing is a spiritual intervention from beginning to end. One famous story that's narrated in the Sirah of Ibn Hisham is about a man from the tribe of Ghifar, who were mostly at that time pagans, unbelievers. And this man said afterwards, recalling the event, أَقْبَلْتُ wa ibn ammin li, I came in the vicinity of Badr with a nephew of mine. فَسَعِدْنَا فِي جَبَلٍ يُشْرِفُ بِنَا عَلَى Badr. And we went up on a mountain that would give us a good view of Badr. وَنَحْنُ مُشْرِكَانِ, we were unbelievers, mushrik. نَمْتَزِرُ الْوَقْعَ عَلَى مَنْ تَكُونُ الدَّائِرَةِ, waiting for the outcome of the battle, who's going to be the winner. فَنَنْزِلُ فَنَنْتَهِبُ مَعَ مَنْ يَنْتَهِبُ, so that we could descend and deal, take plunder, along with others who were taking plunder. So we just wanted to see who was going to win, and then we would make our move. وَبَيْنَا نَحْنُ كَذَلِكَ دَنَتْ مِنَّا سَحَابَةٌ فَسَمِعْتُ فِيهَا قَائِلًا يَقُولُ أَقْدِمْ حَيْزُمْ أَقْدِمْ حَيْزُمْ. And when we were doing that, a cloud came near, and I could hear a voice within the cloud saying, charge حَيْزُمْ, charge حَيْزُمْ. أَمَّا ابْنُ عَمِّي فَقَدْ انْكَشَفَ قِنَاءُ قَلْبِهِ فَمَاتَ مَكَانَهُ. As my nephew, the veil of his heart fell and he died on the spot. Amma ana fakidtu ahlik thumma tamasakt. As for myself, I almost perished and then I pulled myself together. A miracle heard by these mushrikeen. Hazum is, of course, the war steed, the charger, the horse of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. No ordinary battle, extraordinary sign seen from beginning to end in that battle that account for the miraculous, the truly miraculous outcome. يُمْدِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ. Allah will give you support of 5,000 angels fighting in ranks. We all know Sayyidina Uqasha, one of the most loved Sahaba, Uqasha bin Mihsan al-Asadi, radiallahu an, who was one of the great mujahideen in Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to call him khayru farisin fil Arab, the best cavalryman of the Arabs. And we know him from many hadith, because he transmits many hadith, radiallahu an. He has given us these gifts. The famous hadith, for instance, where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمِنْهُمْ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And amongst them at the end of the hadith, there will be 70,000 who enter paradise without reckoning. فَقَامَ عُكَاشَ وَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ اُدْعُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مِنْهُمْ Ukasha stands up and says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, pray to Allah that I might be one of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking, maybe it's a khutbah, and Ibn Ukasha is so excited by this that he wants to grab the barakah of the moment and to get the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he stands up and he asks, Faqal innaka minhum. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, You're one of them. Faqama rajulun min al ansari wa qal, Ya Rasulullah, أُدْعُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مِنْهُمْ A man from the Ansar stands up and says, Ya Rasulullah, pray to Allah that I might be one of them. Because obviously this is a good thing and he wants this extraordinary promise of paradise as well. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَبَقَكَ بِهَا عُكَاشَ عُكَاشَ beat you to it. In other words, in his prophetic knowledge, he knew that there was a moment of ijaba, a moment in which prayers would certainly be answered, and Ukasha, because of his sincerity, had been the first of the Sahaba present to jump to his feet, and he was the one who received the answer to his prayer. So Ukasha bin Mihsan is one of the great ones of the Sahaba, and he is active. He is one of the great mujahideen at the Battle of Badr. وَكَانَ Ukasha bin Mihsan al-Asadi رضي الله عنه يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ يقاتل بسيفه حتى انقطع. Ukasha bin Mihsan on the day of Badr was fighting with his sword until his sword broke. Now remember, they don't have very good weapons. These are probably made of iron. And it broke. And they didn't really have replacement. فأتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأعطاه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جذلا من خطب وقال قاتل بهذا. So he went to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Messenger gave him a piece of firewood and said, a stick, and said, fight this. Of course, this is a man of yaqeen, so what does he do? There is not a moment of doubt or agitation in his heart. He's not afraid to go back into the battle with the whirling swords and the arrows everywhere with just a piece of firewood in his hand. فَلَمَّا أَخَذَهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam هَزَّهُ And when he took it from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shook it. And the ulama say that is because of his yaqeen that this was going to be a weapon. He shook it in the air, proud of it. فَعَادَ صَيْفًا And it turned into a sword. This is in the hadith. And it turned into a sword. طَوِيلُ الْقَامَ قَوِيُ الْمَتَنِ A long, powerful sword. قَاتَلَ بِهِ عُكَاشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ حَتَّى فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ And Ukasha, may Allah be pleased with him, fought with this sword until Allah gave victory to the Muslims. And in fact, afterwards, because of this amazing event, it became a famous sword, and Ukasha was very proud of it. It was called Al-Aun, the support, and he fought with it for the rest of his ghazawat and his saraya. And even after the death of the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr sent him with a squadron to fight to the people of Central Arabia in the wars of the Ridda, which is where he achieved shahada with this sword. So another extraordinary thing, another miracle happens in the middle of this terrifying battle. Then again, it's as if the whole story is miracle after miracle after miracle. Nowhere in the seerah do we get such a concentration of extraordinary events in such a short period of time. Such is the momentous nature of this battle. And then afterwards, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qama ala ahli al-qadib. He stood up over the trench where the mushrikun who died in the battle were being buried. Faqal inni wajadtu ma wa'adani rabbi haqqa fahal wajadtum ma wa'adukum rabbukum haqqa. I found what my Lord promised me to be true. Did you find what your Lord promised you to be true? He's speaking to them. فَقَالَ الصَّحَابَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَتُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَهُمْ مَوْتَى And the Sahaba said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Are you speaking to them when they're dead? قَالْ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهُمْ لَأَسْمَعُ لِكَلَامِ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ الْجَوَابِ By him in whose hand is my soul, they hear my voice more clearly than you do, it's just that they're not able to make reply. Another extraordinary thing. The barakah of his voice rips the veil between life and death. between those who are in dunya and those who are at the first of the stages of the akhirah, so that they can see him and so that they can understand when it is too late what it was exactly that they were up against. So this story of the Battle of Badr is one that this time of the year fills our hearts not just with pride, but with amazement, and also with la'allakum tashkurun, that perhaps you might be grateful. Weapons appearing from nowhere, angels appearing from nowhere, communication with the dead, all kinds of extraordinary things that happen to those who deserve them. Those who deserve the mu'jizat, those who deserve the karamat, those are the true awliya, awliya ur-Rahman, and they are given those things. It is as though the veil between this world and the world of reality was very, very thin on that day, and extraordinary things that we would find extraordinary, like the young boy who fell dead on the spot because he heard the voice of Sayyidina Jibreel from a cloud, and suddenly in that moment his unprepared, weak soul realized and his system couldn't take it. We would find that very difficult. Allah protects us from these things very often. But the Sahaba were strong. They were amazed, and overall they were grateful. That is their maqam. After the Battle of Badr, they returned shakirin, with a state of gratitude. And this is very important for the Muslims, because nowadays we tend to think too much in terms of cause and effect. We calculate. We believe in sababiyya, or causality. We try to figure out, can we overcome this government, or topple this politician, or win against this regime, or this army, or whatever it might be. And it's all calculation. But this calculation really was closer to the method of Quraysh than it was to the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, who just did as their Lord had commanded and left the outcome to him. What would our situation be in a world when very often Muslims are weak, whether it be in Central Asia, or whether it be in Chechnya, or whether it be in Gaza, or whether it be in so many places where Muslims are fighting rightly or sometimes wrongly? What would be the situation if we were truly awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course, we would also be given these victories. وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Victory comes only from Allah. So where we see these forms of activity, and particularly those which the media will call terrorism, and we look at them, we see always the people who really suffer are the members of the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always we're the ones that carry the can, that carry the burden. And this is absurd. And that is because we are not awliya ar-Rahman any longer. The people who are doing these things all too often are doing it out of a rage and a desire for vengeance in their souls. It's for nafs. It's for ego. It's for hawa. It's for outraged pride. It's not because of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the real sense which the Sahaba knew. So by their outcomes, we can see what they are. This is a great lesson that Ramadan has to offer. But of course, there are so many others. And as the month draws to its climax and draws ultimately to its close, we remember the particular climax that is associated in a mysterious way with two things: the revelation of the Holy Quran and Allah's decree. The Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, the night of destiny, the night of decree. What exactly is it? Hamim wal kitab al mubin. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakatin inna kunna munzilin. Fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. Amran min indina inna kunna mursilin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these mysterious but really important lines, says, by the clear book, we have sent it down in a blessed night. We are ever senders down of revelation. That's his nature. He discloses himself. He sends revelation after revelation after revelation, until the most tremendous revelation, which is one that speaks about itself, which is the Holy Quran. And then in this night, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. In it, every wise command is dispensed, differentiated, made many. And the ulama, when they ponder this, they will say that this is because the arzaq and the ajal of the ibad of Allah's slaves are determined at that time, sent down and then turned down and made mufassal, made into the individual judgments and decrees for human beings. Wallahu a'lam. The verse is not muhkam, it's not clear, it's difficult to understand, but clearly we can intuit the purpose of it is this has something to do with Allah's decree and it has something to do with the Qur'an. And we need to figure out what the connection should be. Why is it that this qadr takes place in Ramadan and at the very climax of Ramadan and therefore at the climax of our sacred holy calendar? And why is it that Ramadan is also Shahr al-Qur'an? Unzila fihi al-Qur'an. This is the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. What's the connection? Why do the two come together? Well, we know that both of them, and this is really the key, are from the world beyond, from the world that our minds cannot grasp, from before everything. Because the Qur'an is the only thing that we will ever hear or see or touch in this dunya that is not of dunya, properly speaking, because it is kalamullah al-qadim. It's not makhluq, it's not created, it is uncreated. It goes back to before there was even a before. Like Allah's pre-existent decrees, which go back to a time before there was a time itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make up his mind to decree certain arzaq and certain ajal, certain lifespans and forms of provision for his servants, because there was never a time when he didn't know that. This is from before the before, and of course our minds boggle and we can't understand what such a thing could be. That's why these verses are so difficult to understand. That's why they're expressed the way they are. But these two things clearly are to do with the before. What is before eternity. What they call al-qidam or al-azal. Something that we can't imagine because we can't imagine what anything would be like if the clocks weren't ticking, if there wasn't time. What is before time? But nonetheless, we know this is part of our aqidah. And every Sunni Muslim believes that Allah's speech, the Qur'an, is kalamullahi al-qadim, Allah's uncreated speech. Ayatu haqqin min ar-Rahmani muhtathatun qadimatun sifatul mawsufi bil-qidami. Lam taqtarin bi zamanin wahya tukhbiruna 'anil ma'adi wa 'an 'adin wa 'an irami. These are famous verses that the Qur'an is ayatu haqq, signs of the truth, from the Rahman, brought anew because the earlier generations didn't know the Qur'an. So for us as an ummah, we are the bearers of this, but they are qadimatun, ancient, uncreated. Sifatul mawsufi bil qidami. Their quality is the quality of he who himself has no beginning. That's the mystery of Allah's book. It's always been there, since before there was an always. Lam taqtarin bi zaman. It's not connected to any time. But still it tells us about things in time, al-ma'ad, the end of time. And it tells us about earlier peoples, like Ad and like Iram, peoples of whom we would have little or no information, but for the fact that Allah, in his pre-existent, uncreated book, the book of always, the book of eternity, has informed us about those things. And when we think about Qadr, Allah's decree. Well, first of all, our minds are dazzled by looking at this like looking at the sun. We can't consider what his decree means when we seem to be deciding things for ourselves. It's just too much. The mind cannot reach the perfection and the totality of the divine mind and the divine knowledge of all things. We just say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that he is ala kulli shay'in qadir. He was powerful over all things. And that there has never been a time when he did not know what would happen in this dunya. So these two things seem to go together. These are the two things that affect us. The Qur'an, which contains what we need to know and how to actualize what we know, the ahkam of Islam in a general sense, and giving us a sense of the meaning of history and the meaning of our situation as human beings with a consciousness, with souls, with a sense of good and evil. The Qur'an is what tells us how to put that intuition, that awareness, that vague sense into practice, and also our awareness of this great mystery that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed powerful over all things. As the Sahaba knew at Badr, and as the Mushrikun finally came to realize as the result of the extraordinary event of Badr. Now, this is Shahr al-Qur'an. If this thing that we hold in our hands, Allah's book, is qadim, uncreated, if it is something that has, as it were, fallen into this world from another universe, something unimaginable in its essence, we can understand its words, but its essence, uncreated, with Allah from all eternity, boggles the mind, how should we be with it? Well, it's no coincidence that the most holy time of the year, the month of Ramadan, is the time when we most cherish the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we most welcome it into our houses, when we most welcome it into our hearts, when we start to feel the Qur'an unveiling itself like a beautiful bride, so at last we start to see the genius of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book, in His revelation, in His message, when we start to experience the ladha, the delightfulness of Allah's speech, something that expresses itself in different ways to different people. Because everybody in the Taraweeh prayers, or when reading the Qur'an on their own, or with other people, or studying it, or just walking down the street and hearing some shopkeeper playing the Qur'an on Ida'atul Qur'an, whatever the impact of the text might be in whatever setting, that can be an opportunity for a kind of fath, a kind of opening. A new wisdom is clear to you. Something that is muhdath, something that is new for you, but is still part of the endless ocean of Allah's ancient pre-existent wisdom. And this can be one of the precious gifts that Ramadan gives to us, because the Qur'an is the revelation, it is the message from beyond. When we hold it in our hands, when we hear it, when we recite it, we are participating in something that is al-mawsufi bil-qidam, that is qualified by not being created, by being eternal, something of the divine world. And one of the great things that we can get out of Ramadan as Muslims, that we can remember as the month takes its leave from us, is some new insight into the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some little chink of light, some unveiling that we have seen. Perhaps even if we don't know Arabic and we have been listening to the Qur'an, we can still learn something. We can still get some sense of deep wisdom out of the beauty of the simple sound of the verses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at our hearts and our submissiveness and our love of His book as we listen to it again and again, can give us all kinds of gifts, all kinds of wonders in the heart that can uplift us and give us light and increase our yaqeen. Just from the sound of Allah's book and the barakah of being in a place where Allah's book is being honoured and given something of the respect that it is due. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, in this Shahrul al-Qur'an, to not deprive us of the blessings of the Qur'an, and to give us correct adab with the Qur'an, and to help us to hold the Qur'an not just with our hands, but in our hearts. Not just to hear the beautiful sounds, but also to see the wisdom which it contains and to put it into practice. Where it urges us to pray, that we do pray. Where it urges us to fast sincerely, that we do fast sincerely. When it tells us of the greatness of the Hajj, that we make an intention to do the Hajj. When it tells us to have rahmah and to have mercy for Allah's creatures, that we actually do that. Otherwise, what exactly are we doing? Listening to beautiful music that doesn't have a content. As if you're listening to a Beethoven symphony, there isn't a single word in it, so what do you actually learn? You just get some kind of emotional high. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book takes the form of kitab. In other words, it has bayan, it has a content. And we are underestimating the gift of our Lord if we allow these sounds to drift in one ear and drift out the other, if they haven't left something that is beautiful and golden behind, which is a new determination to follow the way of the chosen one, the sunnah of the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد. وإياكم محدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا وعافنا واعف عنا وكلنا حيث كنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.